If you're an adventurer, there's one place that you absolutely have to shop.
There is, because there's this place called Modatomic, and they have the gas can hoodie, which when you put it on, it feels like a hug. And if you're a true adventure rider, you know that some days don't go as planned and you need a hug. But not only the gas can hoodie, Modatomic has other things too. Like what, Cappy?
Like beanies, cups, stickers, t-shirts, and probably my favorite dry bag.
That orange dry bag is badass.
It is. Modatomic.com. Link in the description.
So, Chappie, I got a confession to make.
Confess to me.
I've been talking to our buddy from B-Moto, Paco Pete. You know B-Moto, that shop that does really cool stuff like
off-road performance engines and suspensions. They even can Cerakote with ceramic finishes, so the outside is just as strong as the inside.
Which is awesome and brings me to my confession, Cody Proof Certification. Because Paco Pete told me they're going to take care of my engine and Cody Proof it.
That's something that not too many places can say.
No, definitely not. I would just suggest go over to bmoto.com and check it out. They've got some pictures of what they do.
Boutiche.com. Link in the description of the podcast.
Yes, because it's hard to spell, but they do good work.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Throttled Adventures. Cody, how are you today?
Let's keep it short. Fantastic, because I have surprise guests.
You
keep
do.
Keep it short. I can't do that. I haven't taken my medication, Chappie.
Yes, you have a surprise guest, and not just on the podcast either.
No, this is our first. Can we call this live on studio or in studio? Or
I guess.
Or just in studio?
In home studio.
In home studio, except for me. I'm still on the other side of the country, but at least we're all in the same country this time.
You know what's really cool? Where were you last time you were on this podcast? We talked to you.
We were in Guatemala.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. I can't even.
We are very much not in Guatemala now. We are actually in Cody's basement.
Basement.
What?
Yeah.
How'd you get in there?
We're the trolls that live under the stairs now.
I told my wife to lock the door. What the hell? She never listens.
In case you haven't guessed, Greg and Jess Stone are back on the podcast from Go Roughly. They're in the middle. Well, not really in the middle. They're in the throes of their adventure. As Cody has mentioned a million times on this podcast, maybe more, that maybe. The adventure happens and when things go wrong. And you guys have got a lot of stories about that so far in the trip.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah. So we've been on the road now for 6 months. And initially we thought this was going to be an 18-month adventure all around the world. Not so. 6 months in, we have a long ways left to go because we started in Guatemala March 5th. We went up through Mexico, into the States, up through Canada, and we hit the Arctic Ocean. And after the Arctic Ocean, we turned around and we started coming back down south. And now we're in Utah. And that's 6 months later.
Specifically now, in Cody's basement.
Now... That wasn't part of the plan, right?
Not at all. No. So our original plan when we spoke to you last was that we were going to hit the Arctic Ocean and then we were going to come down and go across Canada to Toronto, where my family is. And from Toronto, we were going to fly everything to Barcelona.
By everything, you mean just list it off. Come on, on your fingers, count it out.
Two humans, a big ass dog. Two motorcycles and all of our stuff. So that was all supposed to go to Barcelona. And the reason we were going to go to Barcelona is because we were going to do it in October, where the weather would still be nice in Spain. And then we would start Africa. We would cross over into Morocco and then start West Africa. That was the goal. That was what our plan was. That was what I was going towards. When we started basically when we started coming back from the Arctic Ocean, I went back to the people who had given me quotations about all of the shipping. And I knew it was going to be expensive, but the prices had just really gone up exponentially to the point where we sort of felt like maybe there's a better way to do this. This is a fundraiser. This is a fundraiser for girls empowerment, and all of the money and support that we get, we really want to put back into the fundraiser and back into Ruffly. So Greg and I had a really strong and long heart to heart about it. And we sort of decided
Africa was definitely calling. There's no question. I mean, Jess and I met in Africa, what, like 40 years ago?
10 years ago.
It was like black and white photograph time.
10 years ago.
Hello, Grandpa Greg.
It was like a lot of gray hairs ago.
Do we look that old now?
It's all the miles. It's not the years, it's the miles. It's marriage years.
The breakdowns, actually. That's what really does.
And the breakdowns. Oh, but Africa was definitely calling. Hard. But yeah, I mean, to drop tens of thousands of dollars, really, frankly, more than what was planned for because of sort of, I guess, the economic situation, cost of fuel, et cetera, at the given time, it just didn't seem like that's the right way to move forward with a round the world fundraiser adventure.
Is that above the original quote? Like,
yes.
From the time you were going to do it.
Exactly. So if you think about it, I started looking at these quotes in 2021 before there was the higher oil prices where gas was still okay.
Oh, right.
I got a number of quotes for shipping the bikes, which is the cost that really went up for us. Shipping Moxie was still going to be around that $5,000-$6,000 mark because she is huge and needs to go by unaccompanied cargo. And so I knew that price basically stayed the same. There was a little bit of an increase, but it was the shipping of the bikes which was going to cost us. And we couldn't justify it at that time. Especially because if we were going to do that, not only is it the flying of the bikes, then it's the carnets that you need to pay for to get through these African countries as well. So then that's a big expense right up front. Yeah. And, so
now Jess says we couldn't justify it. And I do take issue with that because I think that a person who puts their mind to it can pretty much justify anything that they want.
Yeah, have you seen The Walking Dead?
Yeah. So I think we could have absolutely found ways to justify it for sure. But again, we had to really kind of check in and say, is this the best way forward? And I think part of like with any trip, with any adventure, sort of an obstacle in your path is both an opportunity to sort of, I don't know, summon your best self and try and, you know, either get over that wall or get through it or around it. I mean, whichever your preferred way is. But it's also, I think, requires a moment to stop and say, okay, is this the right obstacle to, you know, create a Greg and Jess shaped hole through? And so that was kind of heart to heart. It's like a very Warner Brothers cartoon style, just smash through that wall.
But so we got to the Arctic Ocean. Then I started again. That's at the time where I was looking at getting all of this arranged. And as I was doing it, so taking a step back to get to the Arctic Ocean was a really big deal for me. This was sort of my boogeyman. I really didn't think I was going to make it. Like, we started this trip and I knew this was the part that was going to be the hardest for me because the Dempster Highway is 1600 kilometers. So what was it like 800 miles? We said
it's like 600 miles, about 1700 round trip kilometers. So 600 miles up, 600 miles down.
Oh
yeah. And it's all a gravel. When it rains, it gets full of mud. There's sand. And there are like big boulders because they do a lot of road construction on that stretch. And I knew that it was going to be tough. That was going to be the most off-road that I had ever done, like consistently. Cody does the BDRs all the time. No, I don't do that. I do when there needs to be a dirt road to get to the campsite, I do that. There's a construction area, I do that. If there's a forest road that we're a fire road that we want to go down, I can do that. But I didn't think that I I was scared. I was really worried about it.
When you set out from Guatemala, I mean, you were not an off-road rider. You were someone who would get through a section because it was in your way and there was no way around it. And
I would do it like completely full of anxiety. I would never be relaxed about it. I'd never come out of it saying, oh, yes, I made it. No, I'd get through it and be like, I don't ever want to do that again. That's always sort of been my mindset when it comes to the dirt.
And that was pre-riding with Moxie and with riding with Moxie.
Yeah, like I knew that I could get through it, but when I left Guatemala, I really didn't have, I wasn't practicing the right skills. Like I would rarely stand on the dirt, which was a huge problem because I was just, I felt more comfortable sitting. It's like, okay, I'm going to get closer to the ground. I can put my feet down. There were all of these sort of things that I built up in my mind to try and make it easier for myself. But in actuality, they were really holding me back. So when we left Guatemala, that was in my mind. And we had never, in our first trip, when we did our longer trip, when we went up north, we only made it to like maybe a little bit into BC, but we did not get to where we wanted to, which was the Arctic Ocean on that last trip. So this time we really wanted to do it. And we were, you know, we had the planning right. The timing was right. It wasn't going to be too cold. We had the ability to do it. We had the right tires on our bike. So it was really the time to push it.
And, but you didn't have like the off-road skills.
Yeah.
I mean, just quite simply, you didn't have the, you had experience. I mean, Jess had done some roads. Heck, we lived on a dirt road in Guatemala. And so even that would kind of get her worked up. So now, this was, as Jess said, the boogeyman. I mean, this mm-hmm. was a challenge just looming in front.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask also a question here. I mean, Greg, I'm going to ask you. Yeah. So we've heard her story when she left. What changed between Guatemala or what opportunities, whatever, to the time you hit the dumpster?
Well, my sort of perspective of Jess is like she really decided that this was a challenge she was going to accept. I mean, she knew that we wanted to get there. This was a destination that was worth going to. It was, and I guess the whole nature of, I mean, this go roughly around the world trip was Jess's idea. And it was about like pushing herself. So, and I guess me along the way.
So, like it or not, you're coming.
You're going.
Pushing herself and dragging you along.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Hey, I was content like building roughly as a business. Like, you know, we make the dog carriers, we make dog gear. Like I was hard at work doing that. And she's like, I'm going to throw a little something into the mix, but I digress.
So, but no, you were right. I think
you stepped up and said, "This, I'm going to do this thing."
Yeah, I was a little bit tired of having this this block in my sort of riding style because it felt like every time I would go out for a ride, I was anxious about what dirt I would have to do. And riding with Greg, he's not one to necessarily shy away from it. So if we had picked something on the map and it said that and we looked at it on Google Maps and it looked like a dirt road and it wasn't too long, he was fine to do it. For me, we look at that in the morning, it's with me the whole day, feeling anxious until we get there. And I was getting tired of doing that. And I didn't want to do this whole around the world trip feeling like there was going to be something that I couldn't handle. So that's why when we were in the States, I did the Rawhide Adventure class. And I did it with Gina from Rawhide in the Castaic in California facility. And that was like a game changer, 100%. She really, and of course I had to get like the most badass instructor. Like I couldn't get like the older man who was going to be calm and like, let me get away with it. And you know, if I felt tired, I would just.
Gina is a gunslinger. Yeah. She was like,
she's awesome.
Even at one point she turned to me cause I was, you know, filming some things and she said, I'm concerned that Jess is going to revert back. Like that she's going to start sitting again once she finishes the class and she's riding with Moxie. She kind of thought about it for a second. She's like, I'm going to hop on the bike with her. So she calls Jess over. She hops on the back of Jess's bike and plants herself there and says, okay, now, you know, do the cones, do the enduro steering on the cones. There was no, like,
no. And let me just say, Gina has no idea about this. And nobody else other than you really knows that. Greg is the only passenger that I've ever had in my whole entire life. And I've probably only had him a passenger like twice. The rest of the time, I've only had Moxie on the back. I have never had passengers and like nobody. So that for her to jump on and to do it like
on the dirt, enduro steering through cones. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like had to step up my game. And but that was what made me feel more comfortable, like doing those, like, and she has like these, what do you call them? Like the mnemonic devices type idea like what you need to think about when you're doing a turn. So she's got, what is it? Foot, candy, turn.
Dance, candy, turn
is her sort of thing.
Turning your feet.
Dance, candy. Turn your feet when you're turning. So that your feet are in the right direction.
And then candy is your butt.
Stick your butt out and then lean the bike. And so she kept saying that every time because we were doing these really tight like turns on the pylons, like at slow speed, and she wanted me to really get it down. So those are the candy, sticking the candy out is like always in my mind when I'm going through turns, and it helps so much. So yeah.
Hey Gina, we still use it.
And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. There's a video about that. If you haven't followed Go Roughly, shame on you, but you should go over and check them out. Because
there is an episode about the candy.
Nope.
Well, exactly. The reason I asked this question is because we've been watching, following along, and just seeing, you know, you progress, Jess, as a rider and your confidence and Greg, your skills on off the bike, narrating. Some sarcasm,
snark,
top awesome. And yeah, I saw you guys speak at the Touratech West, and I had seen one of your previous videos where you had both kind of spoke. And man, you guys have really come into it. So it's been cool to watch the process as you guys go. It's awesome.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, thank you.
That actually means
that,
a whole lot. We are definitely introverts, as I think that the more people sort of, I think we meet in the kind of moto travel world, the more we find that a lot of us are kind of introverts. You know, I mean, not everybody certainly, but a fair number of people, I mean, you spend helmet time, you go looking for campsites, you ride because it's kind of a thing you can enjoy, on your own, or at least kind of outside of the crowds. And that definitely goes for us. And so, yeah, kind of learning to put ourselves out there, filming the adventure and trying to keep it interesting and tell a good story. Yeah, it doesn't come naturally, I would say.
No, we really have to push ourselves to make sure that we get the footage we need so that we are recording and that we're recording in the moment, which is a really tough thing to do, especially when it's hot out. You've got a dog, like you don't have enough water and you're exhausted. It's like those are the times where you need to film to be able to share the story, because telling it after when you're in an air-conditioned basement is not the same thing.
Yeah. So
what's that?
Yeah, so very kind of you to say. And lots more coming, obviously, with the episodes about the Dempster. Because, yeah, really going back to that about Jess's skill, I mean, the class was enormous. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it all comes down to using it.
Practice.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it was, right?
And that's like, what I wasn't doing before. Roads. Like, yes, we did a course in Guatemala, one of the BMW intro classes, that I didn't really take that seriously. And then I never really practiced the skills. So like, yes, I have in my mind.
Student in the back of the class that was just kind of ducking her head.
And like, you can like, I can watch videos and be like, oh, I know exactly what you should be doing, but like I was never doing it. And so I didn't really take it to heart, but that now that I've got it, like I felt like way better to practice it as we went on. So we did a lot of dirt all the way up through British Columbia. And then definitely on those roads between the Yukon and Alaska, there's a lot that's still dirt that they haven't paved yet.
I mean, pretty much anything and everything that's off of the highway.
But
is dirt or gravel.
Even the highway has like the worst dirt stretches when they're doing construction. That's when like they've torn up the road completely. There's either like huge aggregate on the ground that you have to ride through that's like really tough on your tires and it's just really like loose. Or they've got like all this sand, which turns into mud because then they put water on it so that there's not dust everywhere. Yeah. So I thought that the construction areas were the hardest part to get through. the normal dirt stretches, they were okay. They were just, they were pretty like hard packed. Yeah, there was some gravel, but I don't know. By then I felt good.
Well, that's go roughly around the world, Jess, talking, not pre. I mean, the first time I heard Jess say, this was a few months ago now, I guess, but the first time I heard Jess say, like, yeah, that dirt road wasn't so bad. That was a nice dirt road. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just not words that would have come out of her mouth, because if it was not paved, it was not nice. Mm-hmm. Paving was necessary and that's sufficient awesome. To be considered a good road.
Yep.
That's so awesome.
And, you know, it's probably, I mean, a lesson to pull there as well. I guess I'd be curious, sort of a lot of, you know, your listeners and other people who've done big kind of off-road trips like that. Certainly for getting to the Arctic Ocean, mm-hmm. you know, most of us are not coming from that area. So we've got a long haul to get there. And maybe, you know, that's all going to be tarmac for a lot of people. And so you kind of do all this tarmac to get there. And then all of a sudden you're on dirt and gravel for over 600 miles to get to the Arctic Ocean. Like, maybe, you know, if you're not an extremely experienced and competent off-road rider, like there's a switch you need yeah. to make, right? Like, you kind of need to practice along the way, look for some opportunities, because it can be a really kind of sudden jolt to just go from highway to, okay.
Could be dangerous if you don't prepare at least in some way, either courses mm-hmm. or practicing. Chappie's talked about that. We did training mm-hmm. episode yeah, on the, training, the training and how important is it is, because you buy tires, you buy the bling, you buy, you know,
mm-hmm. Mosque, you whatever, buy the, whatever. Yeah, you buy all the stuff. Experience.
Training's yes. always last, right? It seems like. Yes. I mean, some people are different, obviously, but.
But yeah, the training is huge. I mean, it is necessary. But then the practicing afterwards, you know, kind of that thing where you take the class and then never really get out to.
Well, it's yeah, and it's the same thing that people do. Like, you'll buy all of your motorcycle tools and then you go on a ride, but you've never even used them. You have no idea how to plug a tire, if it actually ever came out and you needed to do it, or not knowing what tool goes where, does what. Like, it's that same type of thing. You need to practice it beforehand. Otherwise, you get into that situation and you're not going to know what to do.
Yeah, a lot of people that travel a lot, like Amanda and Tim Collins from FTA mm-hmm. Adventures, will say to, if you're going to do maintenance on your bike, use a toolkit that is in your box that you take with you. Mm-hmm. If there's something that you never use, take it out.
Yeah.
If there's something that you need, put it in.
And that worked well for Greg, because Greg ended up on the way back down. Greg got a puncture in his tire. And
Greg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yep. No, that wasn't the bad part. The puncture, like, we were lucky that we only had the one. That's not the bad part. The bad part is Greg rode on the puncture. While we were in a construction sort of area. It
was what Jess was describing is like one of those areas where they've laid like a lot of gravel and aggregate on.
So we didn't want to stop
on the road. And I got a puncture, and really, like, I kind of was at first feeling something might be a little off, but there was nowhere, you know, that you were pulling over with kind of trucks in front, trucks behind, you know, as it's kind of narrow through that construction area. So by the time we were at a place to deal with it.
He had been riding on it for a little bit.
I had cracking along the sidewall pretty much the whole way around the rear tire. So that was kind of, you know,
they were new tires. We had switched them in Fairbanks before we did the Dempster. So all we did was up and down, and on the way down is when that happened.
Well, to be fair, they looked anything but new at that
mine
point.
Mine looked very nice.
No.
Greg rides very differently than I do, because mine are nice.
Greg wasn't using the Dance candy.
Yes, exactly.
I am absolutely using the Dance candy.
Actually, Greg, I know what you were doing. You were trying to film her.
Yes.
And well, ride that's at exactly the same it. Time, and that, mm-hmm. I've seen you do it, is scary.
Yes. No, no, no. Do you know what he did on the Dempster? He would like ride in the gravel sections, like in the tracks, because then he could see me better to film. So I was riding on the nice smoother sections. He goes and puts himself in like the worst gravel, and that's when it happened.
Well, totally, I'm sacrificing myself for the quality.
Yeah, but you're sacrificing us all by doing that, because what? Then we all had to wait for you as you went and had to plug the tire, and then all of that had to go on. Then we had to go and get you new one or the tube. It turned into a whole to do. So it's not just
content,
Gregory.
Though, right, Greg?
I am that's a huge liability. There's no question about it.
I think Greg was saying that's good content for the viewers to see these.
Yes.
Well, it actually turned out to be fortuitous is probably not the right word. Scenic is the right word, because after this construction site where we were finally able to pull over was an emergency airstrip. And there happened to be a pair of Cessnas there. And so a truck comes over to us as we're pulled over just on kind of the edge of the runway. And the guy's kind of like, what do you say? He's like,
Can you move the bikes?
We're gonna
take these two planes off in a minute. Just move them out of the way. And we're looking
at him like, not really.
No. And then he goes, well, just put your dog on a leash, because Moxie was running freely around the runway.
I mean, this is like wilderness, right? And then there's one highway. There's one road going through it, and here happens to be an airstrip
with two planes,
like what you imagine back in the day, like on safari, they just like land a plane and take it off again. So that's pretty much what it is. So it was a hell of a scenic situation with these planes taking off while I'm plugging the tire.
I'm sorry I ruined your Cessna party. I'm sorry.
we were in the way.
But luckily the sidewall damage didn't create a leak. So we were testing it to see, and there was the plug that you didn't hold 100%, but it got us enough to where we could bring it back.
160 kilometers to get back at like back to the tarmac. This was on the way out of the Dempster.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it held.
Yeah.
So that.
And it's funny because a lot of people that you speak to or that you see, they're bringing additional tires on the Dempster. Like they are carrying a whole other set.
It's almost like hula hoops. I have to wear them. You know?
Heavy hula hoops. Yes.
Right. And, you know, we can, I guess, see it both ways. But at the end of the day, you know, Jess has a 75-pound German Shepherd on the bike, plus all of her gear and Moxie's gear. I have the camping gear plus the Giant Loop Armadillo gas bags on there.
Yeah, he had gas bags.
2 gallons each, one on each side case. Oof. So there's
another good video. Two gas bags.
Yeah, there just really isn't a version of that where let's throw a couple of rear tires on there. I mean, there's just a point at which.
Yeah.
So we did not carry spare tires. No.
And the thing is, there were a lot of people. There was a surprising amount of traffic on the Dempster. Most of them like RVs or like trucks and motorcyclists. There were quite a few adventurers who were doing that stretch. So in the event that we were stranded, we wouldn't be stranded. There would be somebody who could help us out. And we did see other people on the side of the road whose like car trailers had a flat or whatever, and people were helping them out. So
we were able to help out a rider who had those CO2 cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
He had a puncture in his rear as well. Rear tire, that is. And he only had the CO2 cartridges and was like on his last cartridge, and it wasn't going to be enough. We're like, no, you need one of these mini compressors. So, but it's strange what Jess says. Like it's a tale of extremes,
mm-hmm.
because in one sense, like, oh, there's a handful of RVs, you know, you'll see some cars go by. I mean, nothing like what you'd see on a normal American highway, of course, but
no.
In the sense of you're out in the wilderness and yeah, wow, there's a little bit of traffic. And then the other extreme where we counted a stretch of 50 kilometers with not a living soul. And then after we saw one vehicle go by, I counted another 40 plus kilometers with mm-hmm. not a soul. And then another vehicle. And I think the last one before I stopped counting after that vehicle was another 30 some mm-hmm. kilometers. So, you know, it's, and then you'll have a handful of vehicles that are all sort of in a caravan.
Yeah, especially because there are two water crossings, two ferries that you need to take across the two rivers that are on that route. And so you'll wait until that ferry comes back. You can, and then all of you will go together. And then there's normally a little caravan of people that are riding together until they sort of split off. So if you come across them, you'll come across a number of vehicles in a row.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
I forgot to say, she's doing this all for Girl Up.
Yep. It's all for Girl Up. Yes. So they are a girls empowerment nonprofit. They do girls programs. So they teach the girls sort of how to organize themselves, how to fundraise, how to advocate for the issues that matter most to them. And they are all around the world. They're in 130 countries, and they've supported 90,000 girls. So the money that we're trying to raise, the $100,000, will go directly towards them. Anybody who donates at GoRoughly.com, it goes directly to Girl Up. So we don't see any of that. It goes directly to them. It's tax deductible in the U.S. And we're hoping that that money is going to go towards building more of these Girl Up clubs and supporting them for what they want to be fighting for, which is really important to me. Because working in the nonprofit world previously, we know all about organizations coming in and basically telling you what you should be worried about or concerned about or the things that you should be caring about. This organization, it really works from the bottom up. They're really looking to see how they can help them with what they want. And that's a big difference. And that's why I really wanted to partner with them.
That is awesome.
That is totally awesome.
Down in the description of the podcast, wherever you're listening, there will be a link to not only your YouTube channel, but the Go Roughly Around the World links if you want to donate.
And yeah, you guys at Throttle Adventures were super generous. You know, after our matching. Last visit mm-hmm. for making a donation and kind of rallying your listeners, and we are eternally grateful for that. So. Just kind of, I think, shows the quality of, I guess, the community that you guys have established and keep feeding with kind of inspiration and wacky stories like ours.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Cody and I are both fathers of two girls, so what you're doing is, you know, it hits us right in the heart. You know,
I mean, yeah, it's awesome. And I kind of overheard, I think, I don't know if I overheard it, but Greg was saying something about these girls and like what they wanted to do. Like they have a vision, like some wanted to study to be this or.
Yeah, so we had the opportunity.
That was cool.
That's right. We had the opportunity to visit one of the Girl Up clubs in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. And these young ladies are just total gunslingers. I mean, they, you know, they are smart. They are well-spoken. They are passionate about what they, you know, and they know sort of what they need for their community and how to move things forward. And Girl Up is giving them the additional support to kind of develop their skills and resource mm-hmm. The solving of their problems. So just, I mean, yeah, just
and,
a fantastic.
And the great thing is like, we're going to continue to see more of the Girl Up clubs. So we talked about how we were supposed to go to Africa first, change of plan. Because we reached the Arctic Ocean and we got to the tip, like we got right up there. We put our feet and our paws in the ocean up there. We thought, well, there's also another tip. There is the bottom.
There's the southern tip.
There's the southern tip. So we are now on our way south.
It's
so we are going
right
south. We will be going through here after Utah. We're going to continue down. We're going to go into Baja, into Mexico. And then from there, we're going to go back onto mainland Mexico and continue our route going south. So we're going to get a chance to see all of the Latin American Girl Up clubs first. And we'll be sharing their stories during our episodes as well. But that is going to be one hell of an adventure, considering I thought that the Dempster was going to be hard. Well, there's mm-hmm. the southern stretch in Patagonia, which is like similarly like a monster road in terms of gravel and dirt and wind. There it's wind. And now I'm concerned about that. But it is going to be a tough stretch to get to the tip of South America in that on that road.
Don't worry, Jess, you've got this. I saw this other lady that did it on YouTube, and I'm sure you
did. It look easy? Did it look easy? Just tell me it looked easy.
It looked so easy. I don't want you cussing at me if it gets hard.
That's why I wanted you to say it.
So originally you had planned to come back, I think it was to Argentina.
Guatemala.
Well, Chappie's right. Latin America or South America
was the last continent back up, but it's not. So now instead, as we come down, we're going to go down to Ushuaia, the tip of South America, and from there we'll ship to South Africa. And then we'll go up the eastern side of Africa and get into Europe. And then we'll still do the way that we were planning to in that sense. Like we were going to go down and up Africa, but this time we'll just go up Africa. We'll get into Europe, Asia, and then from Malaysia, we'll ship. But now instead of shipping all the way back down to Buenos Aires in Argentina, we might ship somewhere closer to Guatemala so that we can end the trip back in Guatemala.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. This sort of, again, as we were speaking about before, when an obstacle comes in front of you, in this case, there was, just an enormous expense around shipping to Barcelona and then going down through Africa. And it causes you to stop and just say, okay, well, before I go kind of, creating like a Greg and Jess shaped hole in the wall to get through this obstacle, is there like, let me just look around and see if there's something that I'm missing. And when we stopped for just that moment, it was like, well, top to bottom, what about that? Like, this is kind of, there's a theme here, in terms of the challenge. I think the Arctic to the Antarctic, that wilderness stretch up north and the wilderness stretch down south. And so we just kind of thought that was clearly, if there is a rhyme or reason to things, if the gods up there are laughing and sort of directing things, then they put this obstacle there to sort of kind of steer us in what I think is a better and more kind of exciting immediate challenge.
Yeah. And I think we spoke about this in our last episode when we chatted about how things are always subject to change, like there's always going to be like, this isn't around the world. It was supposed to be 18 months. Not going to be 18 months anymore. Like it's flexible, and we have to be flexible in this. And this is this was a tough one to change when I started looking at it, and I felt like there were all of these obstacles in my way. And like Greg said, yeah, we could have figured it out and done it, but by taking that step back and just reevaluating what we wanted to do, what was going to be the best for us and our story and the challenges that we wanted to take on, this just made a lot more sense. So we made that change, and it's a big change to say we're going to go across Canada to Africa versus let's just go down to South America. They're just completely different sort of trips in that sense. But
I'm seeing a shirt, how rock bands or whatever go on concert and they have the tour. And
yes.
The name of the tour, the Divine Intervention Tour for you.
Yes.
We had thought of Arctic to Antarctic, but Divine Intervention sounds kind of sexier.
It's cooler. It just went along with what you were saying.
Yeah.
But it's a really kind of, whether in a big sense like this for sort of the around the world route, or even for a smaller part of this trip or any trip that someone takes on, I think there's really something about that, which is the obstacles that get put in your place are partly to test you and they make you stronger. They're also sort of to, I think part of getting through them and around them is sort of taking that step back and saying, is my plan so important? Is that the thing that has to be saved at all costs? And I'll give you an example. We came up with the idea on the way back down the Dempster, said, okay, it took us several days to get up here. We hit some rain and, we wanted to experience it along the way. So we certainly weren't in a hurry. But then coming back down south, we said, okay, well, let's take advantage of this idea of sort of what is nearly 24-hour light, and let's try and sort of ride the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that became sort of the plan that we set for ourselves. and it was going great till about a little after midnight
when it's not 24 hours sunlight and it actually does get dark.
And so
because we aren't by the summer solstice in June, now we're in August.
Right. And and you go through an area called Hurricane Alley, where the winds are just blasting you, you know, crosswinds are kind of blasting you. I've got some great shots of Jess, like, you know, at an angle standing on that gravel, just zipping through and, you know.
No, I wasn't gear. Zipping through. No. So on that gravel, there are like tracks for the trucks and they're riding through. Everything beside those tracks are really like steep, like little gravel hills. So the wind is pushing you and you're trying to not get your tire caught in that because then you're going to have a little wobble. So I'm like trying my best to just look straight ahead, not pay attention to these little gravel hills, getting blasted by the wind. Wind that is known to blow over semi trucks there. So it was a difficult evening. And then it got to the point where, yes, there was not much light.
There was not much
light. And you couldn't see the tracks anymore where the trucks were going. So now I started like getting into some of that gravel.
And there were no trucks. There was nothing going. Nobody is driving that road at midnight.
Everybody.
Not a soul.
Turned off.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was like, Greg, I can't see the road anymore. This is unsafe and we do not need to continue pushing ourselves. I know you wanted to do a gravel tail, which would have been 800 kilometers of riding the dirt with Moxie.
You would have been the first ones.
Iron
tail and gravel tail.
Yes.
But we pulled off. And the cool thing is on that stretch, there's a lot of like rock quarries where you can just camp. And the good thing is they're good for blocking the wind. So you can just sort of set up your camp there. And that's what we did that night. And then we just continued on in the morning.
Well, and I guess the point being is that you get this idea of a itinerary, a timeline, a plan, that this is how you're going to do it. And the sort of worst thing you can do is not take a moment and say, is there maybe a different way to do this? Is the plan that important? And while, okay, we didn't do it in 24 hours, we had a series of additional experiences and time up, you know, in the far north like that, that was really priceless. So giving up on one important plan opens up, you know, other opportunities and adventure and excitement to you. So I think a lot of us kind of struggle with that the one of the biggest hurdles is like letting go of the way things are supposed to be and sort of, you know, not going with the flow per se. I mean, you're still putting, you know, all you have into it, but
just being flexible. Kind of,
yes. Exactly. And Greg struggles with it. I'm much more flexible person. I can sort of go with the flow a lot easier, especially when it comes to plans, not dirt roads. Now dirt roads better, but plans in general, I can easily deviate, but Greg sort of has it in his mind. So for him, it's been, a learning experience to be able to be flexible like that change his mindset.
Think of yourself kind of like Gumby, if you remember Gumby, Greg. You can bend, just don't break.
Yes.
It's okay to bend. If you break, then we get.
I think it's something with the name because Greg's like the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a natural rigidity there that needs to kind of be.
Yeah, I can be a little flexible, but like, you know, I like to have a good foundation.
That sounds
flexible with.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's a Greg thing. Let's blame it as a Greg thing.
For a sample size of two that's here right now. It is definitely a Greg thing.
What's the foundation?
yes, Cody.
Cody's foundation is I have my key, I have my bike. Let's go.
There's gas. Okay, we can go somewhere. I don't know where.
Absolutely.
And then people pop into your neighborhood and start saying, we're going to Baja. And you're like, what?
Should I go to Baja?
So Cody and Amber have like saved our lives multiple times now. And the reason is we were coming back down. We went to Overland Expo in Loveland, California.
Colorado.
Mm-hmm. And that went well. And then we stayed in Denver with Greg's aunt for a couple days. And our goal was to come through Salt Lake City because we wanted to, we had some partnerships that we wanted to go and see them in person. So we first went down to Telluride, which was where Craig and I first had our first love. 10 years ago, we had rented a cabin in Telluride right after we left Africa. It was called The Love Nest.
Obnoxiously, and, it was called The Love Nest.
We wanted to go and check it out again because we were in the area. So we had the address in Greg's old email, and so we went to go and see it. And we pulled up. And there was a sign saying that it was protected by a U.S. Marine. And I was like, Greg, are you sure?
A lot of no trespassing, like, should we, and this and that.
Should we go or no? Yeah. But the gates were open. So we rode up and pulled over. And then we were like, okay, let's do a little filming. We sort of thought that our goal was to go to the house and see if there were like some lovebirds who were staying there and hear their story. We just
a hope that, you know, you go back there and you see some couple that's like celebrating their 50th anniversary or something. I mean, this was once upon a time an Airbnb or home and away type thing. And so we were sure that we would find someone starting or maybe celebrating their love story.
Yeah. But so Greg went up. He knocked. Nobody was there. It looked he looked around and it looked pretty run down. And then as we did our little filming, and then as we were getting ready to go, a car comes up. And inside the car is this this man with two hunting dogs in the front.
And a bit of a grimace on his face.
He did not look happy that we were on the property. And so Greg went over and did his killing with kindness thing where he like, hi, how are you doing? And he was all friendly with the guy, told him the story about why we're there. Turns out that this guy has been renting this property for the past 2 years and he's potentially looking to buy it. But so it's no longer an Airbnb. So he's there sort of by himself.
Not the Love Nest anymore.
Not the Love Nest.
So, but point being, from there, we're headed to Salt Lake area, and all of a sudden, Jess's temperature gauge went up.
But it was also like really hot. It was like 105 degrees outside.
Ooh. Which is really weird for Utah, but it is. Yeah,
there was a heat wave.
It's still the first time ever in September, actually, in Utah. It's been over 100.
Well, and yet, I mean, your bike, Jess, has survived and thrived through temperatures.
Yeah, we rode through the Mojave Desert. Like, we've done a lot of stuff.
So this was not normal. And when we sort of pulled over and checked it, we found radiator fluid coolant all over the side of her bike and the side of her leg.
This is like reminiscent of earlier in the trip.
With that, and that was
the
engine oil,
and now I've got the radiator fluid. And this is a different bike too. So this bike, this bike only has 25,000 miles on it, but the radiator fluid was leaking. So we were, and it was boiling hot out. We found shade behind a chevron, and so we put the bikes there. We took it all apart, tried to find where the leak was coming from. Couldn't find it for a long time. Finally, like, Greg was able to identify it was coming from like the bottom right corner. We looked online, what can we do about it? So this was a Saturday evening on the holiday weekend.
Yeah, never had a radiator issue before. So, you know, some of these things, you can't deal with them. And in this case, it's very fortunate when it happens when you have cell coverage.
Yeah, that we weren't.
So you can look things up and, you know, otherwise you can't.
So we tried the stop leak stuff that you can put into the radiator, and potentially those particles can fill up any little pinholes. We tried it 2-3 times.
Extreme.
Didn't work. And then by that point, I had been able to ride the bike for a little bit before the light went on after it cooled down. After we did the stop leak stuff, we tried it. And then within like, I don't know, 10-15 seconds, the light went on. Whoa. And so we had to shut it off. So then we were thinking, what are we going to do here? It's Saturday evening, we called our BMW in Ventura County, which is where we normally get where we got the bikes initially and always have them serviced. And we have a tech there who we really like, Doug. And so we called to see what he said, and he wasn't there, but we got his other guy. And he said, basically, you can try that stop leak stuff. probably won't work and it could really gum up your system. We had already done it by then, by the time we called him. So yeah.
I didn't tell him that.
No.
Sometimes you got to throw the kitchen sink at it.
So he said, the only thing you'll be able to do is like get a new radiator. Okay. This, how much is the new radiator? Quoted $800 for a new radiator.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
On my 25,000 mile bike. But I still had Moxie Thumper, my old 650 that was sitting in North Hollywood.
Leaking lots of oil, but never no leaking coolant.
So the question was, how are we going to get the radiator out of that bike at Greg's dad's house and get it to us here in Utah? And so we started thinking, well, here, there's all these things that we can do.
Meanwhile, Cody is looking for a trailer to help, you know, get us out from behind the Chevron. Because
we're 40 minutes out from Cody's house, luckily.
And Jess has the idea of checking on Bunk a Biker.
Yeah.
Which we had used, I think, twice at that point for stays, right?
Yeah, one in Fairbanks, Alaska. We used Bunk a Biker and we stayed at the Howling Dog Saloon because they were on it and they had these really cute cabins. So we stayed there. And then the other one was actually in Edmonton because we wanted a place before we had an event in Edmonton at one of the dealers. And we had a really nice stay. It was perfect. So lovely those guy. Two experiences were lovely. But I remember looking on Bunk a Biker that there are some people who put pins to say that they have the ability to haul a bike in the event that there's an issue. Wow. And so I looked on it and lo and behold, was it Springville he's from? Is that Cody? Is that mm-hmm. right? Springville, yep. Utah. This guy, Jeff, had a trailer. And so nice. I messaged him and I explained the situation. Like, I'm doing this around the world. I've got this big dog and now I'm just hung out behind the Chevron and I need a tow to bring me up to Sandy, Utah, where the BMW dealer is, so that we can see what we can do on Monday or on Tuesday. And so he said, okay. He calls me. He said, yeah, I can definitely do that. But I just towed my brother and the trailer is at like his house, which is another 40 miles in the other direction. But he said, I can do it. And this is at 8:30 at night. He said, I can do it. I'm going to drive. I first have to drive 40 miles to go and get it. Then I have to drive 60 miles to come back to pick you up. And then I'll drive you the 25 miles back up to Sandy, Utah.
The motorcycle community is just amazing. Know.
Yeah, heart of gold. I mean, just and you know, we found that I think throughout, and even, you know, of course, tried to pay it forward ourselves in small ways, like, you know, helping someone out with our our mini compressor they only have a CO2 cartridge. just really good people out there who, you know, this brotherhood, sisterhood of bikers. You know, that really bail you out of a situation. And then fast forward, Cody has a buddy who's in the LA area who, sort of gets wrangled into this, I guess. Again, another heart of gold.
Wait a minute. He wrangled himself. I'm sorry.
Be careful what you volunteer for.
You're part of the story, Cody.
Well, it's just natural. I got to do this, but. So it's in California. We're in Utah. Greg's thinking he's going to ride down there, bring it back, and install it. It's about, I don't know, 10-hour-ish.
And just to clarify, this is the radiator on Jess's previous bike that we started the trip with. Again, it's leaking oil, but the radiator has never showed signs of trouble. So yes, that is stationed, grounded at my dad's house in North Hollywood.
The parts bike. But so... He's thinking, you know, how am I getting this here? And he's going to ride out. What is Cody hear in his head? I'm going back to Cali. And my wife's like, no. Road trip. I don't think so. No.
Yeah. 10 hours in a car, not 10 hours on a bike.
No, we were going to do the bikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so I called the Hollywood. I was joking. I'm like, dude, I might see you tomorrow. I do this to him randomly. And someday I'm going to really just show up. But... He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, Greg and Jess are here and they need a radiator and it's in California. You know, we're going to ride out and come back. And I think his words were something will be podcast friendly, but that's like a retarded idea, dude. Like I live, you know, I live close to Hollywood. Where's the bike? And, you know, so I was teasing him that I was going to come. Next thing I know. Hollywood offered to go over there, take it off and ship it back, which he did.
And it is currently
en route.
With UPS en route. We've been tracking this thing basically the same way that you can track our location.
Oh, boy. You haven't turned that off yet? You better turn that off.
Now, I know.
Now they know where you live. Fuck. It's not just me.
Oh, man. Now the whole world knows.
Now the whole world
boy.
Knows.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we've been following this thing.
But my radiator should arrive tomorrow by 10:30.
At which point, Cody will be wrangled in again to help us.
Well, first we'll have to flush out the bike because we put the stop leak stuff in. So we're going to have to go through a few gallons of antifreeze through the bike to clean it out. And then we'll put in the new one, the new radiator.
If you're going to flush, why wouldn't you use water?
No, I think we will.
The water? Guy said, okay, the BMW guy said, yeah, he said, I don't water. Know. No,
it's he said, okay. No, he said, I was going to let it go, but one of the Gregs here was not having it.
Well, no, wasn't going to let you get away I'm with that thinking, one. I'm thinking all that money you're going to spend on that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, water literally. Should be okay.
Flush it out with water and then put the antifreeze in when you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So well, they came with enough antifreeze. For all of us.
I know, right?
No, I'm kidding.
Sorry, I didn't know the other Greg knew or I would have kept quiet too. I just wanted to save you some money.
In a on the road marriage, you definitely pick your battles.
Yeah.
But so it's been a whirlwind just in the last few days. And this was supposed to honestly be the kind of like, we're just going to zip through this, get down to Baja and then the adventure will resume. I mean, to me, I kind of already frankly mentally checked out that I'm basically in Baja. We got a few things to do in LA for some of our Go Roughly partners and a little bit of filming. So it was like, let's just do this and then get back into it, where it really gets fun in Baja.
No, this was another example of Greg being very rigid. And when this happened with my bike, he was not pleased. And it took him a while to sort of get into, we're still on the road and we're having issues that we're going to have to solve. And we're going to have to change the plan.
So he didn't
so well on that one though, but now he's come around.
I did not.
He seems so cuddly though.
It's all beard, honestly.
It's all beard and hair.
Yeah. It's just an appearance.
Right.
Very prickly. So yeah, I mean, there's no version of this, frankly, that's chosen to go super easy.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's part of the excitement. And I think it's going to keep happening until I learn my damn lesson, right? Mm-hmm. That like, go with the flow, like, set a route, but then just kind of let it take you as and where you need to go. And I think it, honestly, the additional challenge is in so far as that we work and ride, right? So we do generally 4 days of riding and then 3 days of work. And that's how we keep roughly going and people actually get their cockpits on time and so forth. So there is like this, I wouldn't say artificial, but this sort of added pressure there around, it works beautifully because you've got these 4 days where you're just going hard and enjoying it and doing everything you can. And then, those 3 days where now I've got to kind of put my work hat on and so forth. But when things kind of bump into that, it can get a little tricky because, you still have customers and stuff that,
right.
That, you want to be responsive to, you need to be responsive to, people are waiting on you. So,
yeah.
And episodes need to get out, right? I mean, you got to get an episode out.
Especially your next one.
No. I think this one, Cody's got a particular stake in this one.
Yes. I'm terrified.
He will be appearing as a
jester.
Guest starring.
Yeah, definitely. Even just a cameo. It's like,
no, this is like the way it says, like, and Martin Sheen, mm-hmm. Like this is...
Don't put any tags in it. Let it slide. And... No, it's awesome. It's so cool.
At least he said Martin Sheen and not Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, I think his famous quote was, put the hooker in the closet or something.
I was going to keep it very...
PG
like pre prime time. Yeah.
My wife's not here. My 24 hours of being not a potty mouth, don't count. She'll be home soon, though. I got to watch my ass. She'll walk in and I'll be in trouble. No, it's been great having you. It's, I mean, a great community. Like, I mean, the guy drives you all over. You know, you stay here. Hollywood's helping out. And
I know. What a connection.
It really is something. It's really something special. And, you know, you feel like part of a sort of a clan or a tribe. And I suppose, and I guess I hope that really that same kind of community exists in other activities, you know, whether it's a particular sport that you would do, or I don't know, if you play backgammon, I mean, whatever it is, I hope that there's a community around it that's as good and strong and warm hearted as the motorcycle community, because I don't think there is,
but man, I mean, I hope there is too, but it just keeps proving to me, like, my mind's blown. Anyway, I just remember watching your videos like 3 years ago, seeing you guys with the dog and going, oh my God, and showing my wife over and I'm sure she was sick of it.
Well,
look at this. And she's like, you showed me that, you showed me that. And now here we are.
Well, and this was a particular sort of highlight for us. And I'm enjoying it immensely. The fact that, so we got to ride with a cockpit rider. And that is you, Cody. So, I mean, you know, we sort of, our experience with the cockpits, it's a remote build. We're in contact with the rider throughout, but then the cockpit goes out there, it's birthed, and it's out in the wild, it's installed on someone's bike, and they're riding, and a lot of times we'll get some photos, maybe a couple of videos. A lot of people post on the mm-hmm. cockpit group on Facebook. But like from a live and physical in-person sense, I mean, we're not there to sort of enjoy that experience. So this was the first time, this was, I guess, 2-3 weeks ago, we met up with you in Utah previously and got to actually ride and camp out with you and DJ. So DJ, your husky on a husky. And I mean, look, I don't know if it's a breed and a brand thing. I do think that a GS, a German GS. Shepherd on a GS, yeah, maybe
GS on a GS, Husky on a Husky,
Husky on a Husky. But like, we don't need to, you know, we don't need to go there. If they're listening,
you can take
especially since the dog and the biker numbers. From the same country too.
I know, right?
What is it?
Landis Strasse?
No, it's giant drill though. I don't know if you've seen that video. It's hilarious.
Agreed and acknowledged. But yeah, so huge thrill to...
for me too, like being able to see you riding with DJ and having Moxie on the back and seeing us side by side. It was just so such a cool thing.
And, they got along. Like,
I know.
It was so cool.
Yes. Having a big husky and a big shepherd together and then being friendly, it was fantastic. It was like
minus the rain and the guy that tried to steal our tent. It was a perfect trip.
That's correct. Right.
We were prepared for German Shepherd versus Husky knife fight out there, but we did really well.
I talked to Deej previously. I said, please don't embarrass me, my friends. And he said, they're not really your friends. They're just putting up with you, but I'll be good. No.
The dogs are born and bred to embarrass you and make your life difficult, and you love every moment of it.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what I told my wife. I'm kind of like a dog. So carry on.
Absolutely.
No, it was awesome to see you guys, like, real life action and seeing the original. Well, I guess this is their second cockpit, but I was going to say the prototype. But.
Well, we've been through several versions, all very similar, but mostly different. The upholstery keeps getting better, which is, that's the fun part. That's what you can see.
I did go in a store, come out, and it was really funny, you know, to me. I come out, they're watching my dog, but Greg was kind of engineer geeking out, like looking at mine and trying to help me out, like with Deej, and it was awesome. Like, he was totally, I could see him in his element. Like, mm-hmm. he's like, have you tried this? If we do.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's cool. That's it was like,
talk about customer service. He was right there. It was just awesome.
Well, it was like the woman that we met in Sumter in Oregon. She mm-hmm. had just purchased a cockpit like
3 days before
and randomly saw us when we were at a, gold dredging sort of site. It was like the enormous,
gigantic metropolis that is Sumter, Oregon. And it was like a gold mining dredging town.
But she was on they were doing like a BMW ride that weekend. And we just happened to be walking around that area when they also came to see it. And she sort of recognized us. And she said, I just bought a cockpit from you guys like last night.
That's pretty awesome.
So we were able to actually go over to her bike. She was on a 1250, right? She was on a BMW. Mm-hmm. And so Greg was able to go and look and show how we're going to mount
it. She has like an auxiliary tank instead of a passenger seat. So it's like, there's always an aftermarket, something different that's kind of keeps it fun and exciting.
And then she saw like how Moxie saddles up and leaps up because she was thinking about like creating a staircase for her dog. And she's got like a standard size poodle, I think it is. And I'm like, no, your dog will be able to get up there. You'll be able to help. And so she was able to see that and the harnessing in. And I think it was great for us to meet another cockpit rider. And I think it was good for her to sort of see it live and in person.
Awesome.
And speaking of customer service, if you have a dog and a motorcycle and you don't like leaving your dog at home, go Roughly.
Yeah, and they dog actually people will make
videos
it.
To help you through. They don't just send you like some text. Oh, just put the screw in the screw hole, dummy. No, they full on show you and explain how to do it personally for each. I'm hoping it's each cockpit, but I've heard other customers say the same. So.
Yeah, well, and these last, 2-3 days of being grounded, I mean, Cody, you've gotten sort of to suffer through each of the video recordings for cockpit riders as I've been down in the basement churning them out and getting in touch with people. So,
it's good. Yeah. It's getting some stuff done and hanging out.
Yeah.
We haven't left the house much. It's been so hot. I want to show them like all the cool things in Utah, and it's like, oh, I don't want to go anywhere.
It's been raining here.
Raining.
Yes.
Well, and it's kind of been a topic for us, like as we've been riding actually on that, like, you go to some of the rallies and people have some just gorgeous bikes, and our bikes are far from new at this point. Mine's a 2013. Jess's was a 2013, now a 2015. But, at the end of the day, like you go with the bike you have. I mean, the people talk about what's the best bike for an adventure. What's the best bike for going up to the Arctic or around the world? And it's, to a large extent, it is the bike that you have, because that's the one you're comfortable with. That's the one that you have. And, just go,
just go. Do it. Just do it. As they used to say. Back in the day, just do it. Yeah, no excuses.
I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah, I think that was Nike.
Yeah, I think it was. But you'll see it at rallies. There was Kane, I think was his name, and he had a used bike to him and a garbage sack with a tin in it. Mm-hmm. He had every reason not to go, and he didn't give a crap. He went for the adventure, and it's kind of the spirit. So
yeah.
I mean, good gear and good bikes are awesome, right?
Yeah.
But you don't need it.
You don't need it. You need the spirit. Or at
least you should be using the gear as much as sort of, you shouldn't be buying more things than you're using. I mean, make sure you're getting out there and using it. That's, I think, the takeaway.
If you do buy extra stuff that you don't use, there's plenty of email addresses below. You
can just go roughly replace Cody. A tent fund.
Hey, behind me, I might have a replace tent? A tent. We can talk.
No, we well.
Well, our tent is on the fritz.
Our tent is a wonderful Kelty tent, but which has been nicknamed the doghouse. So up north, the mosquitoes and the horse flies and the gnats really are a force to be reckoned with. They are a locust, a plague upon the land, biblical style, like of those proportions. And Moxie had become like a maniac, like very neurotic. And so she sort of, the first thing we do, you get to the campsite and you set up the tent, right? And she would go and plant herself right there and she paw at the tent and she gets to get. And so the doghouse is the first thing. And it's really just a good sort of rule of thumb anyways, if you're traveling with a dog. I mean, giving them the tent when you stop is sort of a way of telling them, hey, we're at home. You can kind of come down from high alert. And
we leave the fly off so she can still see outside. And she's smart enough not to run through it if there is anything. So
yeah, Deej is working on that one still.
We can take a little bit. But Moxie is pretty cool about that. But we noticed just from all of the wear, like we've been using it a lot. And we've had it for a few years, that some of the seals aren't as good as they should be. And we've been noticing a little bit of leakage when it's raining outside. So that's something that we want to take care of as we continue south.
It's a good thing you are where you are. Cody knows how to tape tents.
Yeah, seam sealing and patching, you bet.
I'm working on the sewing, but I'll look through all my yard sale stuff back here and see if we got anything that can help you out. Or you can just, one listener can send him a new tent, then you'll have 10 show up. How the hell am I going
to
carry these?
Or better yet, please make a donation to the Girl Up campaign. That's really what it's all about. That's what
the end of the day, that's what it's about.
So. Yeah. But
I'm sure if you guys need a rain fly, they have to sell those separate.
Yeah.
The rain flies.
Yeah. If the tent is fine and the rain fly is just leaking, you should be able to just get a rain fly.
I think maybe both of them have an issue. So we'll have to look at it more closely. We just haven't had the time. We've been on the road all this time. This is the first weekend where we've actually had a little bit of downtime. Yeah. But we'll need to take it out and really like look at it closely to see where the leaks are coming from.
And it is, I mean, that's kind of a challenge of the work and travel, is that when there is downtime, you know, you kind of go for the squeakiest wheel, and that's usually like, you know, business. I mean, the job comes first. So, that's a juggling
need a dry
act,
home.
But we need a dry home, and, Baja is,
I think
is
you need a
not
dry
far
home.
Off.
Yeah. Baja's not far off.
So
just remember, Greg, even in work, dance, candy,
turn.
Dance, candy, turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, such Gina will be so pleased.
I know.
As she should be.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they used that on me when I took the BMW Performance Center course at the Tour of Tech East Rally.
Oh, great.
So it was a 2-hour course.
Who taught you that one, Chappie? Who's the teacher?
Wendy Nasons was
right on. I mean, the training is just priceless. I guess it's not priceless, it has a price.
It does.
It's a very known price.
They were doing it for free.
Really, it is just incredibly valuable. I mean, just for reasons of skill, reasons of confidence.
Safety.
Gives you a foundation to build on. So go out and get some training.
Yes.
For sure.
Well, we want to wish you luck and continued success and less breakdowns, people.
Yes.
Agreed.
Well, we try and keep it interesting, I guess, or our bikes do, but we appreciate it. Yeah, it's fantastic to, you know, been back on and share some time with you guys again and your community. And again, you know, we appreciate the support and the interest in sort of the story we're trying to tell, and hoping to kind of, I guess, inspire, you know, other riders, and particularly people that have thought about maybe how they can ride with their dog.
Yeah. And then now, especially people who are thinking about who are in the States who want to come and try Mexico. And I know that there's a lot of people who are concerned about going to Mexico. We really love it, and we're going to be going back down through it. So if anybody has questions about it, or if they want more info, they're welcome to reach out to us. And we'd love to sort of share our experiences.
Yeah. And awesome. They definitely are good at it. They've been grooming me, trying to get me over my fears.
Well, yeah, maybe fears. We'll see two wheels in a tent coming down to Baja.
Yeah,
huh?
Could be a dog, could be my wife. You never know who I'm going to show up with. But things coming up. I know we kind of snaked you like since you were in my basement, it was pretty easy. But I think
yes, this was another one of Cody's last minute ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought about it the first day, but it didn't even take action till this morning. But anyway,
I had the whole weekend off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we're just all trying to fit as a family. You know, wives, yeah. Husbands, dogs. Luckily, my children are out. So, but you've got. I know you have one thing coming up. I don't know when it will be out, but you're going to be on talking about things with
Adventure Rider Radio. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Expecting that to come up in the next, I guess,
couple of weeks.
2-3 weeks. Who knows? I think there's some stuff maybe going on with Alpine Stars that's still being sorted out.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah, so people should keep an eye on Alpine Stars's Instagram. We'll be passing through there if we can get out of Utah. We will be passing through Los Angeles to their headquarters. So that is going to be our next stop. So,
nice. I have a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
Great gear.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike our tent, it is not leaking. It was completely waterproof through the Dempster and beyond.
Rec Specs, you were live on Instagram. I saw it. I don't know.
That's last right. Week
that something. Was That's awesome. Right. The little article that you wrote about how you hate them and love them, that was awesome because your hate for the things was not really a bad thing.
Yeah, you know? We were going for.
Yeah,
yeah, that was awesome.
If you're not sure what Chappie's talking about, you got to check out their blog. I guess it's on RecSpecs.
It's on RecSpecs blog. Yeah, yeah. RecSpecs.com. Yes. And so RecSpecs are the ones
love-hate relationship
who do the goggles for that we promote for riding with your dog, just because they're the best ones out there, really.
Yeah, they're the best, and they're so damn cute.
I know. Yeah,
irresistible. So if people want to follow you, you have Instagram, you have a Facebook group. Is that just for cockpit owners? Or
so Instagram and Facebook is at Go Roughly. So you can find us there.
Roughly like a dog.
Roughly. Go Roughly. That's where we share more sort of like up to date information. We do some live stories and things like that. So that's where you can find that information. And then every Sunday at 11 a.m., we have a new episode that comes out on YouTube, and you can find that at Roughly on YouTube. Just search for Roughly or Go Roughly. We will come up. And so
link in the description.
Awesome.
Yeah. Then we kind of like to think of it like maybe Long Way Round or Motorcycle Diaries meets a Dog's Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's the Long Way Round that Ewan and Charlie should have done, mm-hmm. bringing a dog with them.
Or an Itchy Boots with a dog.
Or Itchy Boots with a dog. Fair enough. So, and then the adventure continues south is really, I guess, the takeaway. I mean, Arctic to Antarctic.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
If I can't make it, will you put a sticker at Coco's Corner?
Yes.
It can be absolutely. One of your stickers. Just
do you no, have
no,
it?
We will.
Well, I understand that Coco passed away like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And so they're calling it New Coco's Corner.
That was
but it's still list. There.
Yeah. But we will pass by there, and we will
give
put
them a salute for me or something.
We will put a
my preference would be to not do that for you and have you come down to Baja
and we do it together. Yourself.
We will certainly try to make that happen.
Yeah, that would make me happier.
Do you need more stickers?
Yeah, apparently Greg's holding something hostage. I can only get it if I go to Baja. I can't pick it up anywhere else.
That's right. We like to use Roughly gear as sort of a carrot of a at bait. The end of a stick.
That's awesome. So next time, Greg's radiator is going to give out somewhere near Chappie.
That would be a big twist.
Don't even say it.
No,
you're not,
you don't have to.
I mean, originally
you
were
just
calling
him
this
when you
way,
get
but
in this area.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, no more radiator problems.
Mm-mm. No Please. Radiators.
I guess now
are
we know what to do. So,
what? Get a new one.
Yeah. Not use stop leak. Well, doesn't
that,
work.
That doesn't work. Yeah, no.
On the next episode, Greg and Jess are carrying tires around their waist and radiators.
And clutch cables, just for good measure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have some of those.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. We've been waiting for an update. We didn't realize you guys have been really going through it. been some awesome places, but you're still smiling, so sure carrying are. On. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. Burning the candle at both ends and the gasoline as well.
That I suppose. One.
Careful on the gasoline. I hear it's expensive.
Oh, jeez. It's crazy.
Thank God.
But yeah, no, thrilled to be with you guys.
Thank you guys so much for having us. And yeah, everybody should follow us and yeah, reach out to us. We love hearing what everybody has to say, what suggestions they have for routes and things as we continue south. So yeah, reach out to us.
Awesome. All right. And as I said before, all the links to their social media and stuff will be down below. It's easy to follow. And yep.
You can donate to Girl Up. You can also buy stuff from Go Roughly because that goes towards
10% goes towards the fundraiser. Yep.
So get cool there's stuff for your dog help. And help out the girls. So
yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And you guys have stuff that's for the animals that like collars and stuff like that.
Yeah. So roughly
even if
is
you don't
all-
ride a motorcycle.
Exactly. If you have a dog or if you know somebody who has a dog, if you're thinking about Christmas presents or anything like that, yeah.
Collars, shop at leashes, beds, bandanas, and more.
Yeah. And even some accessories for humans as well. If you want to support by buying a t-shirt, things like that, we've got that as well. So there's some swag there that you can take a look at if you don't have a dog.
Awesome. All righty. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right. Cheers.
I really enjoy sitting down with Greg and Jess. They are really fun to talk to. I had so much fun.
Dude, they're an interesting couple.
Yes.
When they left, I was kind of done. But mainly because the dog just didn't get along with Ghost. So I felt like I constantly 24/7 had to keep them apart, right? So I was nervous. But they were nice and good couple, but they had talked to Amber and she just mentioned she wanted a new coffee machine like that grinds the beans and like does it all in the morning for you.
Yep.
She just mentioned it in passing, like she wasn't saying I need one right now or anything. Like 2 days after they left, there's a fucking package from Amazon on our doorstep and they fucking bought her one.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, that they did it is cool, but even cooler that they just like in passing heard her say something and just right. like did it. I thought that was like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Well, that was their way of saying thank you for, you know, rescuing us and bunking a biker.
Right. And I mean, we didn't
expect shout out
anything.
To Greg and Jess. They're amazing people. I mean, they're traveling the world right now to raise money for
Girl Up.
Yeah, an amazing organization. So
you do the job of Girl Up. Yeah, speaking of Girl Up, I just got home from a hike with the wife. And when we pulled into the parking lot, the trailhead.
Girl Up?
There was, my wife was with me. I can't do that. There was these two chicks, two girls. They had a big truck. And dirt bike, they were riding dirt bikes up there. I was jealous. I wanted to Girl Up. Can I borrow your bike?
Let me borrow your motorcycle.
Because I only brought my sneakers. And the bike looks a lot funner than hiking up this fucking mountain.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, God bless
totally
you for
awesome
doing
people.
That.
But yeah, the look on my wife's face was priceless. Just, she's like, I think I probably got in trouble. What the fuck did you order now, Cody? You know, it's probably like conversation that usually goes down. What'd you order this time? But it
That's
was for
this
her.
Heavy and this big.
Yeah.
She's we probably need thinking, that money for a trip.
I'm parting out a motorcycle or something, ordering it piece by piece. I'm going to get that 890, damn it. One handlebar at a time.
One handlebar. That's the left ventricle of the carburetor system.
You gotta keep them separated. Oh shit! No, it was awesome having them here, and they put out a great video that's didn't feature. My wife and I were in it, and Chappie's face is in it too.
My face. I was in.
Yeah, it's called British Columbia. I think is the episode, but
I did not see it yet. I'm
still working my way through their catalog.
Also, anyone out there, sorry, this is important. Before I forget, sorry, Chappie, I'm totally sorry.
No, that's fine.
They posted today a very nice post, a very well thought out post about Long Way Up and Long Way Down and how the bike, you know, BMW has been synonymous with world travel because of this opportunity. So they said, basically, how about it, Yamaha? Let's change that. Give us some T7s. I don't know. So if anyone knows anyone at Yamaha wants to help out, girl up and some dogs and Greg and Jess. Just saying, just throwing it out there.
I don't know if they would want T7s.
They want
T7s. I know people keep saying that they're the cat's ass, but I keep hearing that they're not.
Yeah, I know. But you said, I say the same thing about the 890, and then you're like, no, it's not the cat's meow. It's the cat's ass.
I didn't, no, you ran out of gas. I think it would be great for somebody that's looking to do more than what I'm looking to do.
Yeah.
As I know, handled great, but
their
I don't,
teeth hurt as bad as mine do for the 890. Theirs hurts for the T7. So I don't know. Mm. It'd be cool to see them. It'd be cool to see them get what they want, but you know.
Yeah, I think they'd be, the more likely to get something from BMW.
Maybe. Never know. I mean, I think they just keep their options open, but it's just cool to follow them along on their journey. Good people. You know, it takes a lot of guts to do what they're doing, really. I mean, they left
and they're doing it at home. Their bikes.
Yeah. They're not like showroom new bikes. They're doing what they can and respect that. So, yeah, check them out. Yeah. Go roughly.
Yes, I was just going to say, as far as like cameos and stuff go, one old man riding Frank. Everybody knows that I met him up in New Hampshire at the Tour Tech Rally. He posted a video that I cameoed in the beginning. He introduced me and he gave us the podcast a couple shout outs.
Is this before the ants in the rain or after?
Or during? It was just before the rain. And then he had little spots here and there throughout the week.
Nice.
Still waiting for his video of him riding my bike because that was not included in that.
Oh, maybe he was cussing.
I don't know. No, he liked it. He said it's better than the T7. He's ridden a T7. Yeah,
it was more planted. It's hard to say, you know, until we've ridden them. Yeah.
Everybody's different.
Until we've been on them, it's hard to say, right? And yeah, everyone's different. So different riding style, terrain.
I forgot to mention, did they say that they rode the T7?
I believe they did, but.
Oh. Well, then they probably.
I mean, I know you're like listening to this at the same time, but it was like a week ago when we recorded that.
Yeah,
it was. Chappie's phone had a little malfunction, and I thought he was dead.
It did.
I had Hollywood calling him. I'm like calling 50 him.
Messages.
He hit snooze and never unsnoozed.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy. Yes, no more group messages, people.
Yeah, that's what Discord's for.
Well, that's just like I'm not a group messenger. I keep.
I don't. I silence from somebody them all the time.
That I don't know. You get banned. You get banned on my phone.
Even my family knows that. I'll ban the family text message group. Well, it goes ding, 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 and somebody answers and it's ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
Oh, God. I hate it when that happens and I'm driving in the car because I have it silenced on my phone. But when I'm in the car, it turns everything up. It goes right to the dash, and it's like randomly, randomly Oliver, Pete. And it's like you and Oliver were going back and forth about something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Cody, yeah. Oliver, Cody, Oliver, Cody, Oliver, Cody, Oliver. I had a 20-minute ride home, and the thing was going bing, 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 all the way home. It's like, I want to listen to my freaking podcast here, not listen to Cody and Oliver go bing, 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 bing. Nope.
We were binging all over the place. Even worse than that, I don't know if it's happened to you, but for some reason, my Sina, when I usually have, you know, like on away from phone or whatever it is, usually when I'm riding, whatever, but occasionally it'll pop up to where I don't have it set up right or whatever. When my phone freaking rings and it goes in my Sina, holy shit, if I could get my music that loud, I'd be a happy camper, but it almost knocks me off the bike. It's like,
told you I can adjust the volume in the Sina from my handlebars now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. You got the
I haven't been to the dealer. It was just my bike updated over the phone.
What?
My phone, the app, updated my motorcycle.
Jesus Christ, what is this world coming to?
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, that is pretty sweet because I could not do that before. And now it's got like a little volume bar and stuff.
I just need an app that changes my BMW tire. I'll be happy. On Sunday.
I was going to bring something up about Frank. But
Frank. Yes.
I don't remember.
You did a cameo. You didn't do your bike thing.
No.
Maybe got another video coming up.
No, it was something about what you were talking about, and then you said, no, hold on, I got to get this out before I forget.
Yeah, the T7.
You made me forget.
Yeah, so. T7s, but you should go check out Old Man Riding, One Old Man Riding.
Yeah, Frank. That was a cool video. He showed what was going on up there at Tour Tech. Alrighty. So we've come to that time of the podcast where we'd like to tell you about the discount code you can use. You can save 20% over at mototomic.com on hoodies, t-shirts, hats. Just get a dry bag or a hoodie and you're going to say, holy crap. And you're going to want more of the stuff. So
you might even say in front of people.
Yeah. You put the hoodie on and you're going to go, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that when your wife's around. She'll think you're messing around or something on her. It's that comfortable. It's sweet.
It is. I am not a hoodie person and I love mine. I wear it all the time. So
we're going to change your middle name to Hoodie now. Chappy Hoodie.
Chappy Hoodie Chappy.
Yes, get your gas can hoodie. Do not put gas in the gas can hoodie, okay? That is not what they are designed for. Or the dry bag. I mean, you can do what you want, I guess. Do what you want, but highly discourage it.
Yes, just get yourself a hoodie and you'll be happy. And also, you can use that discount code THROTTLEDADV over at MotoCamp Nerd. It is the one-stop motorcycle camping shop.
It sure is.
He's got everything you could need for camping. Or motorcycle travel, pretty much. I mean, he's even got panniers from Giant Loop now. So,
it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, and one-stop if there's anything shop. That you aren't sure about, shoot him a message either via the website or send them an email and they'll get back to you.
The interweb.
Yep. The interwebs. Yep. Ben and Mary do a good job over there.
Definitely. They keep us sheltered and comfortable when we travel along.
Yes. Yes. He has good quality gear and you really can't, I mean, his prices are the same as any of the other shops. So, I mean, sometimes it's cheaper. Use discount code, it is cheaper. So,
hell yeah. Good people, good products. That's what we love here. It's what we tell you about because we believe in it and saves you some money too. So,
absolutely. Yeah. We only tell you guys about stuff we believe in. And the fact that these guys give us a discount code so you save makes it a win, win, win.
Yeah, we only tell you stuff we believe in, except Chappie made me say I can't talk about Bigfoot.
Sorry. I don't believe in him.
I said we had to leave that one out. We had to leave that one out. Sorry, guys. You get to make up your own minds on that.
Now, if you're talking about Bigfoot bushcraft, that's different.
That is different. Those are cool, too. Yes. Yeah, if you have any pictures of real
Bigfoot, especially when you have
send
Squatch.
Them to my email. Because Chappie will just send them in the trash. Do it.
Yeah. That was funny shit.
That was awesome. Even bushcraft.
Yes. Vince doing the video for you. That was pretty funny. I like that.
They all said right. Any future videos they want squatching them with me. All right. Well, I guess we're going to get the hell out of here. I've got a new shirt. It's just for Chappie and my dad. On the front, It says, I use the F word. And then on the back, it's even better. It says, freedom. So it really messes with you. I was going to buy it when I saw the front. And then I saw the back. I was like, that's even funnier because everybody's thinking the other F word.
Yes. That is funny. Just want to remind everybody, if you need motor work, suspension work, any kind of work done on your motorcycle, reach out to BeanMoto at BeanMoto.com and they'll hook you up. They do good work over there.
Cody-proof your shit.
Yeah. As Cody said, it's hard to spell, but they do good work. I love that.
Me too. That was totally awesome. Not thought out, obviously, but it worked.
Yeah. Alrighty. So until next week, I guess.
Clean out your ears so we can invade them next week. Yeah. I think I stepped on my cat. It's not the Mad Hatter, it's the Mad Catter.